This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Les Rose. Les is the president of L3's National Security Solutions Group, and it's great to have him on the show. Les, welcome.
Thanks.
Well, Les, to start with, let's just talk a little bit about you, okay? And can you tell us, give the audience a little bit about your background and, you know, how you came to L3?
Sure, absolutely, Roger. I have over 30 years of government service. Spent a career in the military, retired, and then joined this side of the world. And so I have both perspectives in terms of what the government's needs are from having been with the Corps of Engineers for 20 years as an officer in the in that corps. And then on this side, on industry side, being able to understand what I was dealing with and how I can best serve the customers going back into their requirements. So I've had a great career, great opportunity, and really.
Well,
a lot
I do
of
have
fun.
To ask you about. Well, first, thank you for your service, but I do have to. I understand you flew helicopters. Is that right?
Oh yeah, I did. Just as sort of as a side issue for 10 years, I was a pilot, and it was really fun. I'm not rated right now to fly helicopters, or I could take you on a ride.
Oh, that would be hey. So I want you to get rated, so you could go on that ride. But so we're here to talk a bit about L3 and the National Security Solutions Group. And can you talk about your company and your group and what you guys do and what you're focusing on?
Yeah, let me start with L3. L3 is the seventh largest defense contractor in the U.S. We're comprised of approximately 90 divisions, primarily through acquisitions. So L3, in their first 10 years of existence, acquired 100 companies. And the culture at L3 was to leave them alone and allow them to continue to do. So the culture is entrepreneurial throughout the organization, and that allows L3 to develop some of the best and world-class products in many different areas, and some of which you'll see if you go through the airport and you have your baggage screened, or you go through the airport and you go through the ProVision system. That's an L3 product that is world class and is gaining market share all the time. So NSS is really 10% of L3, so we're okay. A small segment of that. National Security Solutions Group's mission is to solve technical challenges. You hear about cyber, information technology, big data, and basically the convergence of those three, those things coming together is what allows us to be more efficient in our application of our resources. So as we invest in solutions and invest in customers' requirements, and it's important to note that they're not just converging technologically, but they're converging from a customer's requirements point of view as well. So cyber is fundamental in everything we do, sometimes referred to as information security, and clearly it has to be an integral part of everything, every product, every solution we develop, because today we're in a mobile society. Everybody has an IP address in their pocket, and everybody can be tracked from that. So if you take L3, our organizational structure, our culture, and the technology, and the world-class products that we have, you combine that together, it's a powerful force, and we're very excited about what we're going to be doing in the future.
Yeah, so it sounds like UNSS is the focal point for solutions to government requirements, whether it's the security piece or, you know, the services piece. You sort of put together those solutions in response to government government, I say customer requirements. It could be a federal government, it could be state, local, et cetera. Is that right?
No, that's absolutely right. And so if you take that and say that what we're doing is taking a product that was developed for a specific requirement, or you might refer to it as a point solution, taking that technology and applying it in a different way. And so integrating or leveraging that back across L3 into our customer solutions is what NSS is really all about.
And, you know, I know that L3, you know, you have those 90 divisions, right? And the vision for NSS and why you sort of retained it, is because it's that central focus? Is that from an organizational structure? You know, you're close to your customers at those divisions, but you've got to see across sort of the strategic approach to meeting needs. Is that sort of that balance?
Right. The strategic value of being able to understand the customer's requirement. As you mentioned, we have 80% of our employees in customer environments, so they understand the customer's requirements. And then we've got this large product house behind us, if you will, that's developing the best for the requirement. Taking that product, understanding the customer's requirements, and marrying those together is what NSS is about, and how we can leverage and provide value beyond our size for L3 in terms of doing what they're doing.
And with regard to L3 and where you are, can you talk a little bit about your different customers and like who you're servicing?
Yeah, well, it's probably the normal suspects, but clearly Department of Defense is our largest customer, civil government, and then if you look across L3, international or foreign customers and commercial customers make up about 20%. So the intent is to, as we look at the drawdown in budgets for the federal government, is to diversify into more international customers because there's an opportunity there, again, to leverage what we built for the U.S. government into other requirements overseas.
And is DHS one of your, you mentioned the screening equipment.
Actually DHS, we're the ninth largest provider to DHS of contractors. And it's a major customer, a major focus of ours, as well as other civil governments such as Department of Justice, the intelligence community, all the three-letter agencies.
Sure, those guys.
Yeah. Those guys, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we won't talk about those now. I'm just kidding. But you also mentioned your commercial customers, and I'm intrigued about that and how, you know, with commercial firms and what they're doing, you know, are there opportunities there to take applications that have been developed in the commercial world and apply them to government work, or does it work the other way? That, you know, who's sort of leading edge is my question.
Yeah, I think that depends upon what aspect of it you're looking at. But if you're looking at technology, I think you'll generally find that the government is leading in certain areas. But if you look at banking, for example, a commercial entity, they can't afford a delay in the response, and they can't afford a mistake. And so while it's quieter, they're doing an awful lot of technology development and an awful lot of solutioning to make sure that they can protect their customers. So it goes both ways. If you look at cyber, NSA is sort of the clearinghouse for cyber, if you will. They have a coalition with industry where commercial and industry can bring solutions in, and they test them and certify them or not. And so on the cyber side, there's a formal process. In the rest of technology, it's much more informal about who's leading.
Sure. Okay. And, you know, with regard to your solutions, you do also, I guess, you know, those are things that you not only, you know, sell to the government, you sell to other contractors who incorporate them into their solutions for the government as well?
Yes. If you look at our products across L3, the other major defense contractors are very important customers of ours in our developing a subsystem or system that goes into one of their major platforms to give them best-in-class solutions for the customer ultimately.
Well, and Les, right now we do have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll be talking more about the federal market and L3 with Les Rose. Les is the president of L3's National Security Solutions Group, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Les Rose. Les is the president of L3's National Security Solutions Group. And Les, when we were breaking in our first segment, you were talking a little bit about how NSS, you know, services the customers and how you leverage across the L3 portfolio to provide solutions to customer, you know, requirements. Can you talk a little bit more about how that works in your organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me start, just step back a minute and talk about L3, because we're uniquely organized, and many people don't understand this. But L3 has 100 acquisitions in 10 years. And the model at L3 was not to integrate. The model at L3 was to leave them standalone. And so we have actually nearly 90 divisions in L3 today. And that gives us great flexibility, agility, and those 90 divisions are run by people like myself who are entrepreneurs who are out there to solve a problem for a customer. So taking that portfolio, if you will, of 90 divisions and bringing it together to solve a customer's problem or a customer's need is what NSS is really focused on, is how can we take something that was built for a specific requirement and leverage it into another opportunity or another solution somewhere else. An example of that might be encryption. So L3 is clearly the leader in encryption. We have been for a long time. And we provide that for special customers, as you can imagine. But then taking that and broadening it out to make it available to a broader audience is something that we're working towards across L3. So L3 in its organization not only gives us that power of technical products, but it also gives us an agility that most of our competitors don't have. We can change direction very rapidly as 90 individual organizations going to the market. And as you can imagine, we can make decisions at a very local level very fast. And take
well, it sounds like
that
approach too is one that puts you even closer to your customer, right? With the 90 yeah. divisions, right?
Absolutely. And if you look just inside, if you focus back into NSS, 80% of our employees are actually in the customer's environment, working as providing services and solutions. As a result of that, to your point, we know very well what the customer's requirements are. Maybe even better than the customer themselves, because we're looking at it from a technical solution point of view and able to take that, whatever that requirement is, and understanding what we have to offer allows us to sometimes come up with solutions that the customer doesn't even recognize they need. So we, in transforming ourselves from services to services and solutions, an example of that is we start out on contracts that are really staff services contract, but by coming in with thought leadership and coming in with other people, we're able to actually transform those contracts into what was known as performance-based contracts, where we take on the responsibility to cause the result to happen as opposed to waiting for the government customer to tell us how to do it. And I have a really large example of where we've done this on a more than $1 billion contract.
Please.
We started out basically in staff augmentation. We've been on the contract now for 2 years, and it is now turned to giving us the requirement and letting us solve it as opposed to asking us to give them 3 engineers and 3 architects
and so forth.
So it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, that's something that I think the government, frankly, needs to go. You know, there was a big push for performance-based contracting,
right,
back in about the middle of the last decade.
Yes.
Then it sort of fell by the wayside. To me, I mean, a lot of it, and I think a lot of it has to, you know, from you, by way of your example, is that taking a proactive approach as someone who's supporting a customer, identifying ways like, hey, I can solve your problem. Let me show you how I'm going to do it. And, right. you know, don't the government trying to articulate and tell you exactly how to do it is not usually the right. most efficient way to do it.
Right. If you have a schedule, if you have a requirement that's defined in a schedule and a budget, and then you're allowed basically to solve that problem, it's usually probably as efficient or more efficient than if you're trying to do it by committee. And so I think that that's an example of, and we don't necessarily refer to it or care if it's referred to as performance-based. I just referenced that from sure. a decade ago
right, right.
when that was in vogue. But clearly, the more we can do that, then the better we can answer and deal with the customer's budget constraints that they're dealing with today at the same time.
Right. And so with regard to, you know, and I want to keep on this because I'm really fascinated with, you know, your organizational structure and how NSS fits within that. And it sounds to me like, you know, one of the things that you do is you look for technology applications and lessons learned from where, you know, a product or a service is provided to one customer and how it may be leveraged and used, you know, to support other customers. Because I can think of technology. You mentioned in the first segment the screening equipment at mm-hmm. the airports and that
right.
sort of thing. I assume there's other, you know, applications of that technology potentially across the spectrum. That's the kind of thing you look to do through your organization?
Yeah, exactly. If you have that technology, how can it be applied to a different requirement or a different problem? And so if you look across L3, not just NSS, you start to see world-class products, world-class solutions that have been done for a point source, as I said. And taking that and making it applicable to a new problem is intriguing and actually exciting. So our engineers, our employees get pretty excited about being able to solve a problem without needing to spend all the R&D and all the development time to build the solution itself, but rather just taking a solution that exists and modifying it or adapting it to that new environment.
Right. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, too, is just, you know, sort of generally, you know, in the market with regard to, you know, sort of large integrators, large solutions companies, mm-hmm. sort of, you know, we know the usual suspect names,
right.
like Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman and them. Where do you guys sort of fit in the marketplace?
So L3 as a whole is ranked 7th in the U.S. defense contractors, based on size. But size isn't the important part. The important part is, I can't think of a procurement in recent times, in the last 5 years, where at least one of those two individual companies that you named weren't competing with us, and generally both of them are, plus all the others right. that are above us at the 6 above us. And so we compete routinely with the major defense contractors. And size is not the issue. It's agility. It's the ability to deliver the right solution to the customer at the right price. And, you know, the government is changing their business model. They're changing how they're buying things. And so clearly, as we look at that, we believe that we're better positioned than some of the larger contractors are in our ability to actually deliver the right solution for the right price and look forward to the opportunity to do that.
Well, Les, right now, we have to take another break. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Les Rose. Les is the president of L3's National Security Solutions Group. And we'll talk a little bit more about the market, where things are going. Yeah, we are facing some budgetary pressures, and how is L3 responding to that? You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Les Rose. Les is the president of L3 National Security Solutions Group. And Les, when we took the break, we were going to start a conversation sort of about the market today in terms of, you know, we all know and we've seen, you know, in the headlines and what's transpired that there are significant budgetary pressures our federal government and state and local governments facing as well. And, you know, it is going to be a time of the government truly trying to do more with less sort of speak less. Sorry about that, but I couldn't resist. But it's okay, isn't it?
That's fine. No, okay. That's fine.
Well, you'd like them to do more with less, right?
Absolutely.
So, with that in mind, I'd just like to get your thoughts on, you know, where, you know, on the market from that perspective, and how L3 is responding to that, you know, focus on, for example, low price, technically acceptable, and that focus on cost.
Right. So, there's a couple pieces here. First of all, the government needs to focus on price. That's a reality of the position we find ourselves in with our debt. So as the government is responding to that by trying to change, as I said earlier, their model for procurement, their business model, if you will. And like anything that happens in the government, you referenced earlier the middle of the last decade when they had the emphasis on performance-based contracting. The federal government is a big operation, and it takes a lot of force to turn it. So Department of Defense has come out with Better Buying Power 1.0, and now they've released the draft of a Better Buying Power 2.0. And I think very well intended, and I think really to get the most that they can for the taxpayers, for us as taxpayers, in getting their services and solutions. But like anything, sometimes it gets misapplied. And so we can talk about that later, about how the procurement process works and whether or not it's being applied properly. But back to the budget thing, budget issue. L3, we had a investors conference a month ago, and we basically talked about our position with the budget. Obviously, how that works is that we have to be agile. We have to be able to adjust and adapt. And we believe that it's a manageable situation for L3 as a corporation, as a publicly traded company. So we're prepared to go down this path with our customer and deliver for them the best that we can. Maybe the way to talk about this is to illustrate a couple of examples.
Oh, that'd be great.
So we have a longstanding contract with Montgomery County up in Maryland, in Montgomery County, Maryland. And when we went into that contract in 2010, the county was facing budget constraints. And so they turned to us as their partner and said, we don't have enough money to fund the contract. And as a result of that, we worked with them and changed the contract, changed what we were doing, still delivered the services, but for less money. And as a result, they won an award. And in the presentation of that award, clearly declared that it was because of the partnership with L3 that they were able to get this recognition. And it's about 10,000 users, 471 locations. And it was in the award category for counties with more than 500,000 people. That was where we were working. And so this award was the Digital County Government in the United States for 2010.
Wow.
And
congratulations.
Yeah, it was great. And it was the county that got the award, uh-huh. But we were their partner in that process. And the CIO, Mr. Emanuel, has noted that it wouldn't have been possible without us. And so that's an example of taking and working with the customer in partnership to make sure that we can, in fact, deliver what we need. Another example is our relationship with Virginia Tech and here in Boston, in Virginia. And basically what we've done there is we've looked at the opportunities of deploying cash, if you will, as a publicly traded company. And one example or one option is to go buy companies, to buy other pieces. We found that those basically are overvalued and point solutions. And so as a result of that, we've chosen to partner our way. And Virginia Tech is a prime example where we have an exclusive relationship with them in cybersecurity and the development of cybersecurity solutions for the government. That's so important because you can't go through a traditional development of a solution that the threat is changing so rapidly that you really have to be in the development world. And to have this relationship.
Constantly, right? It's always, it's just an ongoing thing,
ongoing,
right?
Yeah. Thousands and thousands of more attacks every day. And so it's increasing dramatically. The relationship with Virginia Tech, where we have exclusivity for the cyber technology, allows us to leverage not only the graduate students, but our own technology, our own engineers, and bring it together into a solution that we can deliver for our customer. And we think it's significantly more powerful than acquiring a particular company with a particular solution. And so we're doing that not just with academia, with Virginia Tech, but also with industry, because there are industry partners who have significant solutions, and working together, we can obviously do better for the government, as well as I mentioned before, the other parts of L3 and all the specific right. solutions that they have.
Well, you know, when you talked about, you know, going back to the Montgomery County example that you provided, it seems to me what there's sort of two fundamental lessons that I got out of what you described is number one, you as a service provider and supporter of a government mission, you have to be as we move forward, you demonstrated there that you have to be agile, you have to be willing to work with the customer, adjust given new situations. So you have to understand the customer's needs, and you have to be able to react in a flexible manner. The other thing it sounds to me like that I got out of that too is, you know, one of the key things going forward is how can you save the customer money? It sounds like you were flexible and worked to identify additional savings in performance that translated into customer satisfaction and ultimately that award from Montgomery County. Is that sort of a fair description of it?
Yeah, it's absolutely correct. I mean, that's in giving up and working with the customer as opposed to saying, well, this is what the contract says, and therefore we demand that you do what the contract says, or let us do what the contract says, by being flexible, agile, and working hand in hand with them, we're absolutely able to solve that
right.
need.
So, you know, in other words, like you could be right, like the contract says X, but
right.
ultimately you're wrong, and it's wrong for the customer, it's wrong for your long-term business, right?
Absolutely. It's not right for it has to be. So the way I look at this is our employees, I have them always oriented towards mission first. And so understanding the customer's mission, understanding what they need, and doing that versus doing specifically what's in the contract. Clearly, we meet the requirements of the contract, but how you meet them. And there are many examples where when employees are actually motivated by the mission. And the example I would give is NASA. So people who work at NASA grew up watching something go into the space when they were 6 years old, and they decided they want to do that. So those engineers, those people who work at NASA, are absolutely focused on the mission and what's going on and the opportunity to be part of history. And we don't have to motivate those employees. I mean, they're self-motivated,
and
they know what the customer needs, and they're constantly trying to solve problems for that customer. So it's fantastic when you have that kind of mission identity with your employees.
Well, Les, we have one final mission. That's the last break before our last segment. So when we come back, we'll be talking more to Les Rose. Les is the president of L3's National Security Solutions Group, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Les Rose. Les is the president of L3's National Security Solutions Group. And Les, in this segment, I wanted to pick up also on, you mentioned Virginia Tech and what you're doing there. And I understand L3 also has a National Security Solutions Center. What is that, and what are you doing with that?
Yeah, we do. We have, and we actually made the decision to locate that at Virginia Tech, although it's a virtual center, so it could be basically anywhere. But it's a private cloud, if you want to, and basically it allows us to do research development internal to L3 across the various divisions, across the various engineers, expertise that we have in the company. And we're now going to open it up to customers to participate with us in developments as well as just internal developments. So it really does allow us to go much more quickly to market, get solutions more effective and more efficiently, An example is we have a code-off that we run, which is a weekend. We start on Friday night and it ends on Sunday night. We have a specific objective that we want. So out of one of the weekends, we created on the Android platform an ability to have secure chat. So two devices can chat back and forth in a secure environment. And if you can imagine being out on the front line maybe and you have a buddy next door to you want to talk to, but you don't want that intercepted. You don't want to talk because you don't want the voice noise, but you do want to communicate. So there are applications like that that we've developed through that already. And that's just an example of it. We have a virtual internet browser which allows you to browse the internet without exposing your systems to risk. Those are examples of things that we've developed and done them very quickly by drawing on the power of the engineering talent across L3. So this is open to all of L3, not just the National Security Solutions. And it allows us to bring to bear things, and we believe when we open this up to the customers and allow them to come in, that we're going to see significant changes in how we approach and go after problems.
Well, it sounds to me like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's almost like crowdsourcing in a sense that you are, you know, with your organization, you're, you know, providing access to your engineers to sort of collaborate together through this cloud on projects. And that means you've getting people all over the country who work at your different divisions can all chip in and participate. And, you know, that's, and from what I understand, people really like to do that because they feel like they're contributing to something.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so I had this idea, basically, just the truth in lending, when I saw all the applications that were coming out daily for the Apple devices. Mm-hmm. And I said, wait a minute, they've got people everywhere developing these things.
Sure.
They go through a test process. If they pass the rigor of the test, they're out there. Some of them are free, some of them are 99 cents, some are $1.99. But I said, we have really talented engineers. And to your point exactly, they get excited about the ability to solve problems. And so we do this, as I said, on weekends, you know, Friday night to Sunday night. So it's clearly something they want to do.
And I know engineers would really like that. Yeah, the weekends, that's okay. They would love to do that kind of thing. Right.
Exactly.
Right. But it's almost like you're exponentially leveraging your brain power across the organization.
That's exactly the intent.
Yeah. So, Les, I also wanted to, because I know L3 does a lot with small businesses. I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about your small business programs and, you know, your subcontracting programs and just your infrastructure to support small businesses entering the federal marketplace.
Right, and so we do more subcontracting with small businesses than anyone else, and we've won a number of awards in mentor-protege relationships, in service-disabled veterans and veteran-owned businesses. We've had situations where the goal was 3%, we do 14%. And basically, we think there's a value proposition there, not only for us and the small business, but from the customer. And so we work very hard at having a wide representation. We have an organization. I purposely put it inside business development instead of contracting. When you put it in contracting, it's a compliance type organization to make sure you're meeting the targets and the goals. I put it in business development because I thought it was strategic for our value going forward. And we have wonderful relationship with small businesses across the spectrum and deal with them and treat them the way we'd like to be treated, and that's the key.
Yeah, and one of the keys to success was to put it in that business development area?
Right? Well, I'd like to think so since I did it. But
right. Hey, Les, I'm trying to suck up, man. So, but really, what from your perspective, and that just in general, teaming with small businesses, I'd like to get your thoughts on what makes a successful team, whether it's you're teaming with a group of small businesses and building and leveraging their capabilities, or you're teaming with, you know, again, Northrop Grumman or Lockheed or somebody like that.
Right, and we do both, obviously. And at the heart of teaming needs to be how can we develop the best solution for the requirement that we're trying to solve, and what is that, and how do we overcome the possible competitive items that get in the road sometimes of
Sure.
teaming. But we clearly want to be able to put together a team that is best for the customer and will ultimately win not only the contract, but be successful in the execution of it.
Right. And, you know, we're getting close to the end here of this segment. So I wanted to, you know, as someone who's been in this business for a long time, you know, I don't want to count the number of years. But,
please don't.
Okay, I will not. But I just want to get your thoughts and you know, and from your perspective, like, what have you seen as, you know, one of the biggest or most fundamental, and I'm struggling for my words, but I usually ask folks, what do you think is one of the biggest positive changes in the procurement system over your career that you've seen that made a difference? Like, for example, I talk about commercial item contracting based on my life experience in government procurement. You know, something, and where are we going here? Something that either concerns you or you see as a potential opportunity to improve the system, sort of both those angles.
Okay, well, thanks. I think that if you step back and look at the what I really refer to this as the business model that the government's using, and it's obvious that the government has a very difficult challenge. That is to discriminate between a variety of offers that they receive, sometimes in the hundreds for a particular contract, but typically in the 5 to 10 range of bidders that they will have to deal with. And I believe that if you wind the clock back several years, the government had a significantly greater capability in the engineering and technology area to be able to make the discriminations and make the hard decisions. I believe that through a set of events that's not necessarily anyone's fault, they have less capability today. And that makes it much more difficult to make that discriminating decision. And so we see, in my opinion, a way overuse of protests. And that is causing then double work for the government. So they not only have to make the selection, then they got to defend the selection. And so I think that if there's something we should do, it's to figure out how the government can be stronger and more capable on the engineering side of making decisions and differentiating between the various offers that they have. Now, they've gone sort of to low price technically acceptable. And it clearly has a place in the process when you're buying something that's a commodity that's well-defined. Everybody understands it. Everybody knows they're delivering exactly the same thing. Because I can't imagine that you can find any of the top 50 defense contractors not technically acceptable.
Sure, absolutely.
So it becomes low price. I think the one ingredient that you have to bake into this is, how do you consider past performance? And I don't mean that you penalize someone who doesn't have past performance, but what I mean is if someone has taken advantage of the procurement process, bid on realistically low prices, and then is unable to perform, I think that has to be recognized the next time they bid on reasonably low prices.
Right, and what happens in that case, right, we know, is like if that price is, you know, below your ability to perform, there's all kinds of mods to the contract. They're trying to get right, and the government's trying to adjust because the contractor has bid too low.
Right, and the government is, to their credit, is taking a pretty hard stance on adjusting contracts. They're basically saying, you bid $1.99. I expect you to deliver it for $1.99. And so what you find then, in many cases, is they're just not able to deliver because at the end of the day, the only way you can reduce the price is by dealing with salaries, and because the rest of it is pretty much it's constant.
Right, right. It's you know, it's a
that's the variable.
Yeah. And to your point here, and I have to agree with you. You know, one of the things that I saw over my government career, and even since I left the government, is, you know, the organic expertise within the government on how to differentiate, you know, or even how to execute, you know, and understand the technical requirements. That was there when I started, and I started in the 80s, yeah. You know, not, but it's over the period, whether it's the end of the Cold War or, and, you know, the downsizing of government, it's been lost.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is an area somehow that we have to, I think, as a community, figure out how the government can regain
bolster
that capability to be able to address, you know, the challenges that you described.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I think it's crucial going forward that and industry has to stop the protesting for just the sake of protesting.
Right. Well, on that note, Les, I want to thank you for joining me on the show. I want to, again, thank my guest, Les Rose, president of L3 National Security Solutions Group. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.